So let me ask you, how many churches are there in Glendora? Does anybody know? You weren't listening this morning, huh? One church. One church in the entire world. I will not tell Tim. He's not here tonight, okay? Because he had a prior commitment that at the last minute the times got changed. But I won't tell him that you weren't listening. One church whose head is Jesus Christ. We're his body, knit together with different gifts and purposes, but we need each other. And when we get this and we live in this, there's a sense of life and energy and purpose. It's kind of like being at maybe a rock music event or, you know, at a mass sporting event where your team just won the big game and total strangers, people you don't know, are high-fiving each other and they're hugging and they're jumping up and down and they're shouting in unison. And you don't want to leave. In some way, that should be our experience. Every time we gather for worship, victory, celebration, energy, new life, hopes fulfilled. You know, we're called to have uncommon love, but we're also called to recognize and celebrate what we have in common. Now, if you were in church this morning, you know that we have begun a new series entitled In Common. And this morning, Tim read from a passage from Ephesians 4 that says this: be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's only one body and one Spirit, and you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us has been given grace as Christ apportioned it. Over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about what we have in common, all the ones that Paul listed. But the line that I like is that one that says, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. One author I read said this about him. It said, what Paul is saying is that nothing less than that Father God is the creator of all living things, so that their existence and their significance depend on him. Not some things, but all things. You know, we have become so prone to seeing everything through the eyes of science or our ability to create that we often lose this. All things, everything, finds its existence and its significance in Father God. And God, Father God, works through all and in all. God's universal rule is being exercised to fulfill his ultimate purpose of unifying all things in Christ. The unity of the church is the means by which the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed in the universe. The church is an eschatological outpost, kind of an end times outpost, the pilot project of God's purposes. And his people are the expression of this unity that displays to the universe his final goal. Oh, that's a mouthful, isn't it? The question is, am I living out my purpose? Do I believe that my existence and my significance are found in being part of the body of Christ? Church isn't optional. God doesn't have a mission for his church, but he has a church for his mission. You know, for years, people couldn't read or write, and so what people did is they memorized those things that were most important. Many people think that this section of Ephesians was actually an early hymn or creed that new believers memorized. These creeds were more than just kind of statements of the theological facts. They were kind of like lines in the sands. They were declarations of belief and trust where people kind of, in a sense, declared, this is who I am. This is what I stake my life on. Longer creeds are called confessions, and catechisms are basically confessions in the forms of question and answers. Again, they were used for teaching. For example, the Westminster Shorter Catechism begins with this first question: what is the chief end of man? And the response is to love God and glorify Him forever. That's our purpose. That's where we find our significance. The Apostles' Creed is one of those rallying statements that down through the centuries, the church has used to declare its commonality and to teach foundational truths of faith and life. It was really fun yesterday. Jen's 6-year-old niece recited the Apostles' Creed as a gift to her aunt at a party celebrating that Jen received her doctorate. By the way, awesome job, Dr. Jen. Good. There you go. Her niece, who's sitting in the back there, is learning how to build her life on Jesus. Now, most of us pretty much get what's written in the creed. But there are two lines that some people, when they read it, kind of go, what? The first one is found in the middle portion of the creed. It's that line that it's talking about what Jesus has done and who He is. And we read this, and He descended into hell. Now, if you were here this morning, you noticed that when we got to that line, the word was changed. It said He descended into the grave. Okay, it's a controversial line. Okay, some people don't even think it was in the original creed. And then there's a whole stack of questions about what hell refers to. Is it a place or is it another term for death? This is what I think that line is teaching. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid the price for my sins so that now all of His good credits are applied to my life. Basically, I get to walk around with Jesus' A++. Instead of my F-. Some of you need to look at yourself and each other as A++ students. But what's being highlighted in this statement is that Jesus not only took on my death penalty, but He defeated the enemy. In His descent, He took control of every minute part of creation, every minute part of the spiritual world, and He brought it underneath His authority. The forces of enemy, the evil, no longer of this world, no longer have power. Jesus has all power, and He's in the midst of a great mop-up campaign. Father God, through what Jesus did on a cross, is over all and through all and in all. I might not get what's happening, but I know that God somehow has control and is working all things, even the schemes of the adversary, to His great ends and purposes. And so I can live with confidence, and I can have peace, and I can live fear-free. To me, things might seem completely out of control, but God is in control. He is over all and in all and working through all. The other line in the creed that people kind of hiccup over is kind of in the last section where it says we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Tim talked about this morning. Holy means set apart. Catholic means universal, worldwide. And church is the gathering, the community of God's people. That last line celebrates what we have in common, that we are part of one set apart worldwide gathering or community of people. When I declare that line, I'm declaring that I have been set apart for God's purposes. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself as set apart for God? You know, down through history, there's been another rallying point of commonality amongst the church. It's been this table. When we come to this table, we celebrate and we declare our oneness in Jesus. Even though we pass out these elements to where everybody is sitting because of time and convenience, the real emphasis of this table is on this one loaf of bread and this one cup. One loaf, because we're one in Jesus, receiving together the nourishment from his Spirit. One cup, because it's only in him that we're able to find forgiveness and restoration and healing. This table celebrates so much, but one of the things that we need to remember when we come to it is that we don't come as individuals. We come as a family, a people set apart, called to mission, called to the furtherance together of God's kingdom. But I got to tell you, I am often tempted to forget. I'm tempted, like Adam and Eve, to seek to find substance and meaning and purpose on my own. I'm tempted to think that everything depends upon me and on my striving. But God calls me to relax, to come into the family where he's the father, where he's the provider, and where I'm celebrated and encouraged, not in the big things I do, but in the little things I do together with everybody else. There's a Christian song that I've recently heard. It's called Dream Small. Some of the words go like this. It says, dream small. Don't bother that you got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where you can help. It's in visiting the widow down the street or dancing on Friday with your friends with special needs. These simple moments change the world. When Paul writes, Father God is over all and in all and through all, he's saying that all of life, each day, now and into eternity, is a gift from God. And it is for God. And as such, he is the one that he infuses all of life with meaning and substance and significance. That's a freeing statement. Let me ask you, where do you find meaning and purpose? In creating big things for yourself, or in being one with the Father and with one another, content to do little acts of love for God's kingdom purposes? Would you stand and let's together recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and in the life everlasting. Amen.